Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Community Connections, it's Tuesday. Claire is on the telephone. We're talking about boggy lawns. Are we talking about boggy lawns?
Yeah, well, I thought, oh, goodness me, the rain has felt relentless, hasn't it? So I thought we would do a bit about boggy lawns and also plants which really like being really, really wet because I don't know about you, Dave, but I don't think Homo sapiens, I don't think humans like
No,
being as wet as we have
I
been. Do you?
hate being wet. Absolutely hate it. Hate it with a passion. I always come down here once I get wet. I hate the rain. Never
Oh,
mind.
dear. Well, it has been an incredibly wet January. It's one of the wettest Januaries on record. I think it's the wettest January in Hampshire since 1836, I think. So if
Wow.
you feel like you have just been living in a sea of mud, we hear you. You're not alone. It's actual scientific fact.
Well, I
It's
bet
just
you've
been
been
very.
living in a sea of mud. Because you, I know you've been planting this week, haven't you?
I have. It's been so wet at various times, and I've been so muddy. I've literally got a hose pipe. And I had to hose myself off in my work clothes to even start to get back inside a car. It's been
Excellent.
quite comedy, really. But listen, I thought we would talk about it because the rain's going to carry on for a bit. I think it's because of where the jet stream is and where the weather is in Northern Europe, and we might get more of these rainy, wet winters as our climate changes. So. It's a bit of a shame, isn't it, in lots of ways, not having those nice crispy days. But let's think about what does this mean for our gardens and our plants in particular. So the first thing, which I think many of us have found, is really boggy lawns. Have you got a boggy lawn, Dave?
No, because we ain't got no grass.
You've
That's
quite
we're all
got no
right.
grass. Well,
No,
there we are.
we're okay. We're all right.
Well, you're reading my notes already, which is if you've got a boggy lawn and you don't want a boggy lawn, don't have a
No,
lawn.
I ain't
Don't
got a
have a
boggy
lawn.
lawn. No,
No.
definitely not.
No, but those of us who do have lawns will have found this time of year they can be incredibly wet, and that is because the groundwater, the level of water in the ground is so high, and then you put more water on top, and there's just literally nowhere for it to go. So water goes to the lowest point, and if quite often in a lawn, you might have a little bit of bumpiness, and the lowest part is where the water tends to go. Excuse me. So what can we do about it? So first thing is, if you can avoid standing on your boggy lawn. Avoid standing on your boggy lawn because when we walk on soil which is wet, it compacts it, and that means it's even less likely to be able to hold on to water. A good healthy soil will be like a sponge; it will hold on to water and then slowly release it. But if that soil gets very compacted, it just forms a kind of like a clayey level, a pan, effectively, and that means the water will just stand on top of it and not drain away anywhere. So if you can avoid standing on your lawn while it's really boggy. Do those things. For many of us, we have dogs or we have to be out and about in the lawns, we have to work on them. What can we do to minimize them? Well, you can put boards down if you're out there keenly gardening away and weeding. You can always put a board down, like a simple wooden, almost like a door, a bit of spare wood, and you can walk on that, and that will spread your weight, and it means it's less likely you're going to damage the soils. And when it comes to spring, you can kind of then start to aerate and get some air back into those lawns by getting a fork or an aerator and wiggling holes in it. And
That's
that
one
will
of them
help the drainage.
prickly lawnmower things, isn't it?
Yes. And you can get ones with little hollow tines, which basically you run it over and it just basically spits out little worms of soil. And then you
Right.
can put sand or things in that. And that really helps with the drainage. But
Yeah.
even if you don't have one of those, you can use a garden fork and just wiggle it, jump up and down and wiggle it. But those aerators are a really good thing, particularly if you have a big space to do anything with. But at the moment, it's just a bit of toleration if you can, avoiding walking on them, seeing where the water runs to, or indeed, as you say, rethink actually whether you need a lawn. With our changing climate and having very wet winters and very dry summers, rather than having a lawn which looks good for 12 months of the year, we might have lawns looking only good for a certain period of the year. And you might think to yourself, do I really want that? Do I want to be looking at, a mud bath in winter and dry biscuit orange stuff in the summer? So it can be an opportunity to rethink these things as well.
What's your view on artificial grass? I've
I
thrown you in
think.
the deep end there, haven't I,
Yeah,
really?
no. Well, how long have you got? So, I think they are unfortunately sold as a low maintenance option. And the truth is, they are anything far from low maintenance, quite aside from the sustainability concerns, in terms of how damaging they are, they're not very user friendly. They get incredibly hot in the summer. So if you have dogs, in the summer months, you really can't put them out on artificial grass because the plastic
Gets
holds
too
so much
hot,
temperature.
yeah.
It gets too hot, and then you have to kind of hoover them and clean them and get all, sweep the leaves off.
So you ain't got to
So
cut it, you've just got to go out with a Hoover.
yeah, well, it's outdoor cleaning.
Yeah.
So you don't have to cut it, but and obviously then it means it's less workplace for the water to flow away. So the more we concrete over our land, the less place there is for the water to slowly absorb into the
Yeah.
soil and then stop the flash flooding. So you won't be surprised I'm not a fan, but I'm not a fan for sustainability reasons, but I'm also not a fan because I think people are told it's low cost, low maintenance, and
And
that
it's
the
not
experience
really,
is actually
no.
it's not really. So
Well,
hold off if you can.
I'm glad we cleared that bit up then.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Anyway, so I thought we'd go on to what's really happy in this weather, because we've identified you're not very happy in this weather. This is not
No.
your peak season, and a
No.
lot of plants don't like it when it's really wet because plants need oxygen to breathe. It's the opposite to us. You know, they take in the oxygen, they pump out carbon, they need oxygen to breathe, for their photosynthesis reactions. But if the roots are all waterlogged, it means they can't take up oxygen in their roots, which actually is part of how they need to take in to breathe effectively. So if you have very, very waterlogged soil, it can actually basically strangle and cause some plants to die. And
Oh.
that's why if you get flooding in the summer months, it could be much worse because it means that plants are in active growth, not dormant, not just kind of resting and do minimal respiration, but doing lots of breathing. And basically, it means they drown. So wet winters, we see some plants particularly thrive because they've got some special adaptations. So I'm going to run through a couple which are really, really good. And these are great if you know that you are getting wetter winters and you want something which can cope with these boggy conditions. Have a listen to this lot. So first off, very classic one is willows, Salix. Famous book, Wind in the Willows. It's
Yeah.
about probably. And what are they? They're mucking around in boats, and that is because willows are quite often riverbank
I was gonna
species
say,
because
yeah,
they
you
can
normally
cope.
find them by
Yeah,
water, don't you? Yeah.
exactly. So you know, let's copy what nature does. So willows are very, very good at dealing with having waterlogged and being in that riverbank, so coping with periodic flooding and then periodically drying out. They have male and females. They're one of these weird plants
Do
which come
they?
in two forms. Yep, absolutely. A bit like hollies. Do you remember we talked about hollies, male and female hollies? So the catkins you get are only on the males, and the female ones have very, very small ones, but the males have those big, big catkins which are used. The one downside of willows, and there's a couple of downsides to be aware of, if you plant them near a swimming pool or a pond, their roots do try and seek out the water. So quite often we
All
see
right,
people think, why is my pond draining? And I look back at this chuffing great willow beside it all. Well, that one is hunting underground for the water and it's found your pond liner. And they also have a really weird way of reproducing. So alongside a riverbank, what happens is they suddenly will drop a bough, and it's called sudden willow bough drop. It's not a very exciting title,
that's
but
quite
basically means
technical,
a
isn't
whole,
it?
it's quite technical, and basically means a chuffing great branch of the willow drops off and drops into the water and then goes downstream and then stops at a later place, and then it's pollinated by a local catkin, and then it grows downstream effectively.
It's a bit clever, though,
Lovely,
isn't it?
fine. Yeah,
A
pretty
bit
clever, pretty clever.
clever.
Very, very clever, very, very planty clever, but also a little bit risky if you've got a massive one in your garden. So, because they do this without much warning at all.
All
So,
right.
dropping a sudden bough. So, it's always worth having a look at your willows and working out, okay, if those boughs drop, would they be on my house? That's one of my early things I do when I'm going around people's gardens. So, a great plant for winter wet conditions, but bear in mind that amazing way of reproducing means they suddenly can drop a bough. So
All right.
that's the willow. If you want something a little bit less exciting on the old dropping bough front, Alders are the classic wet, boggy winter plants, winter trees, and these are native to the UK. They are also known as swamp dwellers, so that kind of tells you how happy they are in this kind of things. They've got some cool bacteria going on in their roots, which means they can overcome this being almost too wet to breathe. So they have a cool bacteria way of coming around these problems. There's all sorts of alders, big ones, small ones, little ones, lovely autumn colour, get quite big, but really, really useful for those very damp conditions. On the slightly medium, slightly smaller side, we have something called a river birch. And again, the river birch, the clue is in the name, it lives by a river. And these, the Betula nigra, they're called Betula nigris, that's the klaxon for the Latin. And these used to grow native to Northeast America, so that you would find these in the big rivers in states. But we see them increasingly over here used ornamentally. They've got gorgeous peeling bark, which is not like the white bark you get on some birch trees, but it's kind of pinky and it peels. It looks like cinnamon. It's really lovely. And again, because these are river birches, they're like the willows. They liked and they can cope with having that wet wind sogginess around them, and they can cope with drying out. But unlike the willows, they won't drop a branch on your head suddenly without warning. So they are far better behaved in a small space. And really lovely plants. I think actually we should use more of these. I'm kind of on a one woman mission to get a few more of these in around the place, but a lovely, lovely species. They're also quite shallow rooting. And again, that's quite good if you're worried about foundations or worried about where you're putting these big trees. Something which is shallow rooting means that it's gonna kind of spread outwards rather than downwards. But if you are very windy, it does mean that, it might rock a bit more. So you might want to think about whether it's the right place for you. But a sheltered spot, which is boggy and wet, ideal for a river birch.
But not too windy.
Not too windy. Not too
No,
windy. So,
no.
yeah, apart from the rain, it's sounding like a bit like how you like to be, Dave. Somewhere not too windy. Northeast America,
I don't
quite
know.
sheltered.
I've had a couple of spoonfuls of chai seeds, I think, this week. So I think the windy part's already gone, I think. What about normal hedges and stuff? What about, are they all right with the wet weather?
Yeah, a lot of our native species can cope. So things like the hawthorns are fine, wild cherries are fine, the viburnums, the guelder rose is also fine, and the common dogwood, which I was going to come on to, which we have
Common
this
what?
bright, bright common dogwood,
Dogwood.
dogwood called
Okay.
cornus. And it has bright red stems or bright orange or even yellow stems in winter. And these are actually pretty resilient and they can cope particularly well with the winter wet. And the reason they can cope with is because they are deciduous and they kind of go into the dormancy stage in winter, don't do much in the way of breathing and respiration, but they can cope with this periodic flooding. And the great thing about these type of plants is hedging, you can cut it down. The hawthorns, the cornus, the viburnum, the guelder roses, you can cut them quite hard back and they will bounce back. So again, you can have these as a hedge. If you've got like a really boggy area, you can put these type of plants in and they can cope. And also yew is used as a hedge, and again it can cope pretty much with wet soil. It doesn't like it completely boggy. It's a little bit more fussy than the other ones I've mentioned, partly because it's evergreen, so it's still breathing more in these winter times. But those ones are quite good for a kind of a nice native hedge. So you can crack on through those. The hedging plants which don't like it very wet are things like the phytinias, the red robins. If it gets very waterlogged, they get spotty and a bit mottled. And also the Griselina literalis, which is a New Zealand plant, very common, nicely used for coastal hedging, but again, it needs quite good drainage. It gets very sulky if you put it. It's like putting someone who's a beach bum from the Mediterranean and you put them in a canal in the north of England for a summer. It wouldn't be their best life.
Absolutely. Well, no, especially not on a canal up north somewhere. It'd be a bit naff, wouldn't it, really?
No, although there's more canals in Birmingham than in Venice, so and some of them are very, very nice indeed. So we shouldn't be too prejudiced. I do apologise to the people who are listening saying canals are lovely, but I'm just using an example of a plant which is naturally happier in a drier and warmer and sheltered condition rather than the wet stuff.
Yeah.
But I hope that's given people ideas about what to do, how to cope with your boggy lawns, and things which can soak up this excess water that we're seeing and slow that flow without resorting to things like artificial grass. Or again, thinking about alternatives to actually having a lawn. And some people find this an opportunity to, put a small pond in. If you've got a very low part of your garden which always floods, you might as well go with it and make it a pond and make it a feature rather than trying
Absolutely.
to think that you have to try and
Yeah. Why not?
battle gravity. Yeah.
Now we're going to speak to you in a couple of weeks' time, aren't we? So it'd be summer then, it'd be nearly summer, wouldn't
Oh, well, I'm very much hoping so. I mean, things are growing. There's lots of things in flower already or in bud. But it's a long way till spring,
Oh,
meteor.
don't put a downer on
I know.
it.
The only reason I say this is because, you could be coming in 2 weeks' time saying, Claire, we've got this frost. What are we going to do about our plants? But most things are pretty hardy this time of year. If they're out, they're likely to be okay. So it's a bit stop starting, a bit stuttery,
Yeah.
but between the rain showers, there's some beautiful things out there. The snowdrops are heavenly at the time of year. The crocuses are coming out. The daffodils are coming out. So get out there if you can. Just 10 minutes in nature is a really good mood boost.
But you have to put a down on it, don't you?
Oh,
But
yeah, but
like
come on,
you,
let's do to the
well.
outside and let's go for a nice
Well, we're going to speak to you in a couple of weeks because we're not well. A couple of weeks' time, we won't be too far away from Easter, will we? Well, a few
We
weeks,
won't, and the
but
days are getting longer. The days are getting
yes,
longer.
that's right.
And I think someone said that after this week, the sun won't set will
Before
only be
5
setting
p.m.
after 5 p.m.
That's right.
and
Yeah, I
the
know.
end of October. And I thought, wow, that's a great thought, isn't it? So the days are getting longer. We can get out and about
And
and really enjoy.
they say it'd be the daffodils that'd be sprouting soon, wouldn't they?
They are indeed. They're out and about. We're on daff watch. All
Daff
sorts of
watch.
places are spring out. Yeah, indeed.
Daff watch,
So,
excellent. All right then. Okay, right. So before you go, what song are we playing today?
Oh, well, now you're going to have a go at me because this sounds like it's a downer again. But I thought because it's been so wet, there's an obvious song, which is Travis's song, Why Does It Always Rain on Me? Because I did say that to myself this week as I hosed myself off the mud.
Right, well, we're going to play that song. So I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks' time then.
Thank you very much, and I hope everyone dries out soon.
Perfect. Thanks, Claire. Speak to you again.
Cheers
Bye.
then. Bye.
Bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio.